This is a stick-up.
Mister, put down that gun.
Shut up. Now, come on. Your money or your life? Look, Bud. I said your money or your life. I'm thinking it over.
Let me tell you how it will be. There's one for you, 19 for me. Cause I'm the tax man.
Ron Ananian.
And when I say real regular scheduled maintenance, not dealer fantasy, not, you know, not what the guy needs to sell in order to make his lawn chair payments.
The car doctor.
This is like they never put up the traffic light until somebody has an accident at the intersection. I still look at it and still say that we're going to go for 30,000 mile oil changes and maybe 50,000 mile oil changes until cars start breaking to the point that people aren't doing the maintenance on them. And then what?
Welcome to the radio home of Ron Ananian, the car doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
Hey, it's time to start your engines. Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor here. You know, with spring right around the corner, actually we're into spring, we thought we'd lead off the top of the hour with a great conversation about getting that car ready for primer and paint. We talk a lot about the mechanical side of the car, and we forget about, well, the cosmetics, the paint, the trim, taking care of it and maintaining it. And what happens when you're maybe, you know, into a weekend restoration doing some paint work or other things around or under the car? How do you go about it? We've been talking lately about the 3M AccuSpray spray gun system. Well, I've reached out to an expert on it who is going to join us here, Andy Boyd. He's from 3M. He is in their paint booth solutions division, and Andy's going to talk to us about the 3M AccuSpray system itself. Andy, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. Thanks for taking the time today.
Hey, of course, Ron. Thanks for having me.
You know, I talk about the 3M AccuSpray spray gun system, and, you know, I have my own take on the benefit of the AccuSpray gun versus a traditional metal gun. And I'd like to hear your take on it. You know, can that system be used with an old gun, and why or why not?
The AccuSpray system is purely built on taking the pain out of painting. You know, I've talked to hundreds of painters over the course of the last 8 years. I've been a part of this adventure, I'll call it, with 3M. And the number one thing that painters, and I don't care if you're around in your situation where you're a hobbyist or you're an enthusiast or you're working in a body shop, that's your profession or you're an industrial manufacturing facility, cleaning and maintaining equipment is always painful. And so, you know, to answer your question, I mean, yes, the AccuSpray system is really intended to take the cleaning and the maintenance out, and we utilize a replaceable atomizing head, and we offer them in 5 different sizes. So, you know, if you're spraying something that's really, really heavy, we've got a 2.0 millimeter that's red in color, and we denote the different sizes by color. But you can go from 2.0 down to 1.8 if you're spraying primer in your situation. If you're doing a restoration, you know, primer, we got a 1.4 for sealer. We've got a 1.3 for base coat or clear coat, and a 1.2 even, again, if that's your preference. But from start to finish, it's just a replaceable atomizing head on one gun platform, and it doesn't make it any easier. But we still give you the 3M quality that the name 3M stands behind, gets you a professional finish without the pain.
So when I was, and the listeners are all familiar with this, I recently restored a 2-door 55 Chevy.
Yep.
And, you know, I would, you know, this today I painted, you know, I did chassis black on the frame, and then I did, you know, the black on the floor pan, and then we did the body color, and then we did trim for the dash. You know, it was a pain in the neck, Andy. You know, first I'm spraying this, then I'm spraying that. I got to clean the gun. I got to prep the gun. I got to set up the gun. I got to adjust for spray. What you're telling me is the AccuSpray is I'm spraying this, use this. I'm spraying that, use that. And it's just making the steps simpler.
Completely. That's exactly what I'm telling you. So, you know, instead of having to have multiple guns, and that's typically what you have, I mean, very rarely do you, you know, you're going to...
I have 3.
Exactly. So what people see is the paint. You know, you go through the challenge of putting all the pieces of the puzzle together, and, of course, you put the paint on it. That's what people see. So it's important for, obviously, for you to get a high-quality finish. And that being the case, you know, you can get contamination from coating to coating, so primer to sealer to base to clear. So, of course, that's why you have three. So, you know, what we said is, well, why do you have to have multiple spray guns to spray multiple coatings? Why can't you utilize just a replaceable, right, just a replaceable component that, that allows you to move from coating to coating without that contamination? So from start to finish, there's you just use the platform. So it's a frame, and we use a composite body, and the whole idea there is to make it light in weight and eliminate the parts. So I bet you found, Ron, you probably found that when you get done spraying, it's paint, right? Paint's never clean. So you probably take that spray gun apart, and you find that there are multiple components inside that you're cleaning out.
Oh, yeah, and it, you know, and the time. And you know what the worst part about cleaning the gun, Andy, is you get done cleaning the gun. Oh, I forgot to paint that one. And then you got to load the gun again, and you got to start all over again. It's a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare.
The worst. And that's kind of that's the design of the AccuSpray gun, and it works with what we call the paint preparation system. So this is something we invented 15 years ago, where it's literally a baby bottle for paint cups, right? So in your situation, just like you were talking about, like, oh, you know, shoot, I got to touch something up, or I forgot to mix a color, or I want to shoot a stripe, something very, very small. Well, now you got to set the whole gun up. You got to get the cup, your metal cup dirty or your plastic cup dirty. You got to get cleaning solvents, right? And then what do you do with them when you're done?
Well, yeah, it's another thing to dispose of. It's another thing. It's like you're constantly – I felt like I was spending more time prepping and setting the gun up than actually painting. Painting was the fastest part. It was the rest of it that was the nightmare.
You and everybody else. I mean, it's so different from what we hear not only in body shops, but especially for folks like yourself where – And you don't you don't want to invest thousands and thousands of dollars into spray equipment that you might do a couple of projects,
right.
And even if you're somebody that does, you're an avid enthusiast that does multiple projects a year, you still have to keep track of and keep clean. You got to clean the equipment, and you find a lot of parts. So you know, the AccuSpray is really born out of, hey, make it into one piece, the body of the spray gun into one piece, make it composite so it's nice and lightweight. Allow people the versatility to be able to spray anything from a heavy build primer or a latex paint or even gel coat, if you're touching up the boat, all the way down to a fine, 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 very fine, high-quality finish that you'll find in a premium metal gun. But allow you to do it for a couple bucks, you know, with these replaceable tips are a couple, you know, $5-$6. And then the cup, I mean, so you go back to, like, having to do a touch-up. You know, there's just a disposable liner that goes inside this cup. And so you can have multiple different liners. If you got a couple of different jobs you're working on, you know, maybe you're working on the car, the wife's got you in the, working on the kitchen cabinets. You can, whatever you're spraying, you can keep in these disposable liners. And obviously, you don't have to clean anything out. You can just change out the tips. One, literally, that's the whole point of, you know, we call it AccuSpray One with PPA. It's one system. It's one gun that allows you to do virtually anything that you want to do outside of spraying something like an undercoating. You're going to need a little bit more power, but we've also got a pressurized version of the gun for those applications. But 95% of the hobbyist, enthusiast, you know, applications out there from primer to paint, you can use this one system, not have to deal with the pain of cleaning and maintenance. I shouldn't say not at all. Yeah, I mean, you have to wipe the fluid tip, and you can clean the tips out too. So, I mean, they're see-through from that standpoint. We made them all transparent. They're different colors, tinted different colors. But you want to clean them out and reuse them. You're talking an ounce, ounce and a half of cleaner. And,
right.
And that's,
well,
all, that's it.
And look at the savings in material. It's already, I can tell, it's staggering. For those of you just tuning in, we're talking to Andy Boyd. He's from 3M and their Paint Booth Solutions. We're talking about the 3M AccuSpray spray gun system. Andy, the cups and the liners,
yep.
Anything else unique about them the listeners need to know?
Yeah. Well, you know, so it's not just about the cleaning. Right, so I mean, you mentioned material, right, and that's important too. Paint's not cheap. So,
no, not at all.
You know, paint. So the three things that we really looked at with PPS is material, cleaning solvents, and labor. So the amount of time that it takes you to like you said, you prep. It seems like you're spending more time prepping and cleaning, right, getting stuff ready, than you are actually painting. So we try to take the paint out of that with the PPS cup. So we offer five different sizes. So we've got a 3-ounce, 6-ounce, 13.5-ounce, 22, and a 28-ounce. So no matter the size of the job, you can use the system. It's got mixed ratio inserts. So basically, you can turn your disposable cup into a mixing cup. So you don't need a mixing cup. And what we see there is every time you're using a mixing cup to catalyze or reduce, you're leaving paint on that mixing cup. And if an ounce of paint's $4,
Right.
It's in the garbage.
Oh, sure.
Same with filters. And the other thing is quality in the paint job. We've talked about that. So the filters, you know, your filters, literally there are mesh filters that are built right into the top, the lid of the system. So you don't need a paper or a cone filter, and you're making sure that you're getting the best quality filtration in line. And then, of course, you can spray in any direction. This is one of the things that folks love the most, and probably you've found through, you know, if you've used it before, is it's a vacuum type of system. So the liner allows you, you suck all the air out of it, and the liner allow you, obviously, to spray in any direction. And folks really love that, especially if you're spraying something off the car or if you're spraying a rocker or a wheel well or something like this. It's very, very, very simple, very, very easy to be able to get into nooks and crannies. And, of course, when you're done, we've got sealing plugs, we call them. Basically, you can plug it up, and you can temporarily, you know, seal and protect any coatings that are not in use. And so if you have to come back to it, you know it's going to be sealed up, it's going to be protected. So it's kind of an all-in-one cup system, you know, and we adjoined it to an kind of an all-in-one spray gun system to bring the whole concept to life.
So if you're, you know, if you're doing a bigger project, let's say you're talking about spraying kitchen cabinets, you're spraying the kitchen cabinets, and you know you've got your material in the cup, and you put a first coat on, put a plug in the end, go to lunch, come back, spray again. You're not constantly cleaning up and reloading the gun. It's all just a matter of just putting the cap on, coming back, and you're ready to go.
Say you wanted to prime the hood on the car before you went to lunch. You prime the hood on the car. Obviously, the primer you wouldn't be saving, but you come back and you want to spray the kitchen cabinets. You use the same gun, use a different cup, different liner, and then you know you could put a coat of lacquer on the cabinets, and then you know obviously the primer is good to go on the car. You want to put the sealer on? Go ahead and switch right back. I mean, you can bounce between projects. It's pretty much you anything you want to do, you can do it, and you can get the professional quality that the 3M brand stands behind.
Plug and play. Well, you guys are the Cadillac of the industry. Real quick, Andy, what comes in the kit for the listeners? What do they get when they get one?
Yeah. So we put this all in one kit together at, it's a AccuSpray One spray gun. So you'll see there's a picture of it. I'll give you the website here in a minute. You can go there and check it out. We've got videos that just teach you step by step how to set it up and use it. It's very, very simple. But it comes with a gun, gets you an airflow control valve. So this is an HVLP spray gun. So what that means is low overspray, right? So we're spraying everything at the air cap at 10 PSI. And the whole idea there is we want more paint on your substrate than we do up in the in your lungs, right?
Right. So sure.
It comes with an airflow control valve, so you can make sure that you're at the right pressure, not at the wall, but on the gun, or off the compressor. You know, make sure you're exactly right pressure at the spray gun. One of each. One of four atomizing, so the Aqualma atomizing heads are tips. They're actually the replaceable tips that go on the spray gun. So there's a 1.2, a 1.3, which are typically base coat, clear coat for an automotive application. If you're doing anything with cabinetry or wood, you're talking stain or varnish, low viscosity coatings, where you're looking for a very fine finish, 1.2, 1.3. The 1.4 millimeter for an automotive application would be like a single stage or a sealer. And then the 1.8 most commonly synonymous with a primer or a heavier bodied paint, latex. It'll spray latex in smaller applications, but you know, from low viscosity to high viscosity. So you have 1.2, 1.3, 1.4, 1.8, and then it gets you a cup and a collar, and that's the shell that you reuse over and over as far as a cup is concerned. And then you put the disposable liners, and there's five of those disposable liners, as well as some of those sealing plugs that we were talking about to seal and protect those coatings when they're not being used. And a quick start guide.
Cool. Real quick, Andy, where can the listeners get more information? We're running out of time. Yeah.
Yeah. So anything, all things 3M car related, collision repair, refinish. We've got a website. It's called 3M Collision. So it's just one word, www.3mcollision, collision.com. And if you go to if you put a forward slash in there, and you type in AccuSpray-System, it'll take you to our homepage or our landing page for this exact kit, and that's where we got these videos, these how-to videos, a bank of videos on the right-hand side of the page, and you can get more information and see the product assortments. We also got small packaging quantities, so if you want to buy just one or you want to buy just a couple, you can do that. You don't have to buy a whole bunch of everything. So.
Right. Hey, Andy, I want to thank you, man. You really laid it out in clear, concise English, and I you helped me. I'm sure you helped the listeners. You helped me, so
well,
I got a better understanding of the system myself, and I appreciate all that you guys do for us.
Hey, it's just a pleasure to be able to share our story. It's another great, new, innovative, different way of thinking brought to life by 3M. So thanks a lot.
And you know what? It's what we've come to expect from 3M over the years. You guys are the champs. So,
Andy,
Ron. You have a good rest of the day, sir, and we'll talk again real soon.
All right.
Take good
Sounds
care.
Good.
Yes, sir. I'm Ron and Annie in the Car Doctor. We are back right after this. Hey, welcome back. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. Once again, thank you to Andy Boyd and the folks over at 3M. We appreciate them taking the time and having that conversation today about, well, I tell you what, that AccuSpray spray gun system just sounds, you know, it's intriguing. It seems like they're on top of the sword there. It's just, I'm looking forward to getting one in my hands and I can, we can paint the studio, Tom.
Oh, forget the studio. Tony's not here today. We can paint Tony.
We can paint Tony. So Tony would like that.
I'll hold him. You spray him.
Yeah, well, it's going to need a lot of paint. He's a big guy. So, but anyway, a couple of things near dear to the heart. Been thinking about it lately. Someone said to me during the week, so, and we were talking about, you know, the radio should have been on the air 26 years. And, you know, who's your audience? And, you know, the conversation I was having was with a New York City radio legend, a gentleman who shall remain nameless, that in my mind is he's a legacy guy. And I turned to him and I said, so what's your legacy going to be? And have you done enough to help radio ensure that it'll continue for another 20 or 25 years? And I really got him thinking. And he said, well, what have you done to ensure that kids are going to understand cars? And I put him on the spot and he kind of put me on the spot. And, you know, I think about it a lot. And, you know, have I done enough to ensure kids are going to understand cars? And do I have enough kids listening to this radio broadcast? So I'm looking for help. If you've got some suggestions on what's going to attract a 25-year-old or a 20-year-old to sit down and listen to, oh my God, that thing in the corner called a radio, I'd like to hear about it. Send me an email, ron@cardoctorshow.com. What sort of topics, you know, do they want to hear? What do they want to know? You know, other than pushing buttons and driving a car, there's got to be a hot spot that'll intrigue their interest. I think a lot of it is money. All right. I think understanding what car repair costs and why it's so expensive, I think that's part of the puzzle. A recent article came to me from my friend Dave, Motorworks West over in Wyckoff, my BMW guru. AAA study, 1/3 of U.S. owners can't afford surprise auto repairs, from Mark Grandstaff. This is from USA Today last week. Nearly 1 in 3 American motorists cannot pay for vehicle repairs without taking on debt, according to a new study from AAA. The study estimates 64 million drivers could not pay out of pocket for an average repair bill of $500 to $600. Is you know, and right away I thought of the younger generation. They don't have that $500-$600 floating around extra money. And maybe that's part of what I have to do with, you know, this radio show, in the sense that I've got to help them understand the need to put money away. The article then goes on to talk about putting money away every month, $50 a month. I think it's more. I think it's $125 a month, but in any event, maybe that's what we've got to do to kind of attract that younger audience and help them out. So something to talk about in the future, but I look forward to your comments. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. I'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. By the way, the phone number, in case you're wondering, is 855-560-9900. It is 24/7. You can call 855-560-9900. Leave a message, and our producer will call you back and get you in the lineup for the next live show. We are live on the network Saturday afternoons, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time. So if you're podcasting or taking this by other means, in whatever part of the world or country that you're in, because I'm getting emails from all over the place. We have a listener in Tanzania, Australia, I think it was. He sent me a picture of his Ford Holden. As a matter of fact, I got to get back on Facebook and answer his question about scavenging and exhaust. I haven't had time to do that. But, Tom, it's just like the Car Doctor Nation is all over the place.
It's a great thing. And you know what? You should have asked the guy to send us a pet kangaroo.
What would we do with it? Keep it in the studio?
Well, I don't know. Lucy, the you know, the studio mascot here, I mean, keep her busy during the show. Yeah,
that's what I need. I need Lucy and a kangaroo running around the studio all day long. That'll go over really well. Holy cow. Lucy will get in the pouch and the two of them will hop away. I could see it coming. Let's get over and open the phones. Let's go to Ken in Hawaii this segment and talk to him about his 2001 Toyota Tacoma. Ken, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Aloha from Maui.
Oh, yes, sir.
Like I said, I have a 2001 Tacoma 4x4, roughly 187,000 miles.
Just broken in.
When I, Yeah, exactly. When I come to a stop, I let off on the brakes. It feels like the brakes are either locking up or binding.
Okay.
Or something is. I'm not sure it's the brakes. I called the local transmission shop. They said it does not sound like the transmission. It sounds like the brakes. I called an automotive shop. They said it does not sound like the transmission. It sounds like the brakes. So a friend and I, we rebuilt the front. We did replace the hoses, the calipers, the rotors, and the pads. Bled the brakes. Still the same problem.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Can you duplicate this every time you come to a stop?
No. Sometimes when I come to a slow stop, it does not happen. It seems like the harder the stop, it happens.
Now, is it that something, it's physically locked up, or does it feel like the brake pedal is buzzing and rattling?
The brake pedal is not buzzing and rattling. It feels like it's either locking up or binding. Something in there
okay.
is binding or locking up.
So when it's doing this binding or rattle or this binding or locking up, have you tried putting it in neutral?
Yes.
Does the truck continue to slow down and stop?
No. And it does not bind up or lock when I put it in neutral, when I come to a stop and let off on the brake pedal.
Wait a minute. So you're pulling up to a stop sign, and, well, how do you know that it's locking up? That doesn't make any sense to me yet.
It doesn't make sense to me either.
Well, no, I'm just saying, what's the sensation you're getting? If you're pulling up to a stop sign, you're braking, the truck's slowing down anyway. How do you know what gives you the impression that the truck is locked up?
When I let up on the brake pedal, it feels like something's bound up or locked. When I let off on the brake pedal.
Is it when you let off on the brake pedal, there's a noise from the truck somewhere, like something is wound up and releasing?
It sounds more like mechanical than a noise. There's very little noise, more of a mechanical, more of a jarring, maybe, feeling to it.
But it's intermittent. It can't be it can't be duplicated.
On a hard stop, not every time, no.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Have you tried doing it on four jack stands? Put the car in drive, drive it 30 miles an hour, then lock up the brakes hard?
Because no, I have not.
What I'd like to try and do is get it to the point where it's locked, and can you spin the wheels? It's as simple as that. Will the wheels move? With your foot off the brake, will the wheels move? When you go to pull away from the stop sign, and maybe I don't understand the sensation yet, but when you go to pull away from the stop sign, is it that you feel like the truck is dragging, like the brake is still applied?
No. No, just when I let off on the brake pedal, it feels like something's bound up or binding or locked up, and it lets loose, and then the truck is fine.
So it sounds so what you're describing is you're telling me it feels like the truck is slow to release the brake.
Yes.
Okay. So, okay, what if we find a nice quiet stretch of road, and listen to the whole sentence, all right? What if we find a nice quiet stretch of road and understand the danger here? Because watch what I'm going to tell you, all right? And get the truck rolling at 30 miles an hour, put it in neutral, brake hard. What happens?
I'll have to find out.
Right? What happens? Is it a four-wheel drive?
Yes, it is.
What if you put the transfer case in neutral and roll? What happens? Because then at that point you've disconnected, you've disengaged the drive line. What I'm thinking about in the back of my head is, and you said you did hoses and front brakes and calipers and all that, I'm wondering if the master cylinder itself is staying stuck on. I wonder if the master is dragging.
Okay.
And what I'd like to do is get it to a point, if you could duplicate this up in the air on a lift, on jack stands, whatever, to the point, and if the wheels don't turn and the car is in neutral, all right, this is an automatic or a stick?
Automatic.
Okay. I'd be hard-pressed to think it's in the trans. I think more likely possibly in the transfer case, but I think more likely in the brakes. If we were to unbolt the master from the booster and pull it forward a little bit, you don't have to take it all the way off, just pull it forward a little bit. Does that release? Is the push rod stuck into the, you know, is the push rod into the piston deeper? Is it stuck in there? Do we possibly have a bad brake booster? do we possibly have a master cylinder that's stuck in the apply position?
Okay.
If you pop the master forward off the booster, it should release pressure if the master's stuck on. Now the question is, why is the master being applied when your foot's off the brake?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
You could go through the pain of trying to, replicating this if it's not consistent becomes the chore. But then once we replicate it, can you also, if you crack one of the bleeders coming off, not the bleeders, the lines coming off the master for each wheel, left front, right front, whatever, does cracking a line release pressure on the system? Is it truly holding pressure? All right?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, but I would start to think, you know, we got to think outside the box here, all right? Let's make it up. And, you know, here's the real scary part. I mean, if it was me and I trust my driving and I was on a quiet back road, again, you got to think about this. I'd turn the car off. I'd roll along at 20 miles an hour in neutral. Car off. Now, understand, with the engine off, you're not going to have power brakes. You're not going to have them long. Okay?
Or power steering.
So it's a little bit of a chore. Right. Maybe you could get this to happen at 5 miles an hour, a 5 mile roll. But I mean, okay. I want a deserted parking lot, something like the length of New Jersey, you know, before I go and do this. You might run out of space being in Hawaii. But the idea is, if the engine's not turning, if the trans isn't turning, now I'm down to it's a mechanical thing. All right, I'm just down to brakes. Brakes still function except for the power brake portion, regardless of whether the engine's running or not. But I would hold that off until your very last failsafe. That's a risky maneuver. All right.
Okay.
But I would definitely try to get this to act up on a lift or on a jack stand, and you know, release the master. What happens? So
okay.
Be careful here, kiddo. You're in perilous territory. You want to go slow.
Okay.
All right. Would you call us back next week? Let us know what happens.
Yes, I will.
All right. And by the way, what's the weather like today?
I woke up this morning 5 o'clock. It was 70 degrees and clear skies.
You sure you now listen? You could petition your local radio station. We'll come out and do a remote. We just need a couple of tickets and a place to stay. So, all right.
Deal.
I'll bring my toolbox. I'll fix the Toyota. How's that for a barter? So.
Deal.
All right. Good luck to you, Ken. Let us know what happens.
Thank you. Aloha.
All right, brother. You too. 855 Tom, you want to go to Hawaii?
Of course.
Okay. So, see? It's easy. You know, let's go to Hawaii. 855-560-9900. We're coming right back after this. Don't go away. Hey, welcome back. Ron and Andy, the Car Doctor, rolling along. Let's go over to Rich in Floral Park, New York, 07 Toyota Camry. Rich, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Hi, Dr. Nadine. My son is near your shop, I'd say 8 miles away. The Toyota was mitigated, or the problem was mitigated. Water on the floor, supposedly coming from the EVAP drain of the air conditioner. So apparently Toyota and his auto insurance, paid. I don't know how they split the bill, but it was fixed last year.
Okay.
The problem is back. I haven't seen the car, but I was wondering if it makes sense to have your crew or you take a look at it and advise him how to go. Looking on the internet, I see there's a problem with these cars, and there's a class action or at least one lawsuit. I don't know where that is, but apparently there's an environmental mess in the car from the EVAP dripping
out
of the vehicle into the vehicle.
There's also, get your hands on, have you seen Toyota Bulletin 0033-14?
No, I haven't.
If you read this, you'll sell the car. It talks about the evaporator drain gets blocked by insect nests.
Right.
And they want you to put a chemical up inside the evaporator in the tube to help deter or prevent them from crawling up there.
Well, my question then is, if there's a technical service bulletin out on this, why are they not advising the owners of the cars and doing whatever has to be done?
Because the bulletin doesn't make it a recall.
Oh.
A bulletin. So, you know, the life cycle of information generally as it comes from a manufacturer is there is here, buy the car, good, you love the car, good, the check cleared, okay, let's go on. So then you have a problem, and if it's, you know, if they sold 10,000 units and 50 people complain, it's handled internally at the dealership level. If 1,000 people complain, it becomes an internal recall quietly just to make people happy and make it go away. If it becomes 2,000, it becomes a bulletin where it's available for public knowledge, and here's what we think you may find in terms of resolving a problem, and here's how
so based upon the number of complaints,
right.
It's pushed up the food chain.
Right.
Could you give me that bullet number
sure.
again?
Sure. Take a look at TSB 0033-14.
0033-14.
All right. Came out April of 2014, and it talks about the heating, ventilation, air conditioning, the evaporator drain hose is clogged because of insects. It's pretty crazy stuff. All right, and they've actually, and I believe there's actually there might be an updated version of this bulletin by now too.
Right.
I ran into this about a year and a half ago, and they've got quite a few bulletins that talk about intermittent odor. They want the evaporator changed. They want all sorts of little innuendos and things done to the vehicle as a result. I would tell you to take it back to Toyota only because they've started on it, and it's such a common problem. And I always say it like this, Richard. I know how much you guys love me, but to them, I'm nobody. And
I understand that. But when you say they want the evaporator changed, that means what? Toyota.
Toyota.
They recommend it changed.
Not in this case. In some of the other bulletins, there's a couple of bulletins that also talk about intermittent smell.
A different problem.
Right. That's it. Well, is it a different problem, or is it a, you know, it's. Like, for instance, if you get your hands on, there's a Toyota bulletin, or it's an internal memo, 0009-12, unpleasant odors from the dash vents, as I recall. It's a little bit older. It's been out there since about 2012, but they talk about changing the EVAP. And like you said, they've had a lot of problems with this generation, Toyota, Camry, and so forth, in terms of smells and things like that.
Do you know if this extends going forward to the 2014 models?
No, I don't believe so.
All right.
I don't believe so. All right, sir. I
mean, well, thank you very much. Could we come by to your shop with us and have you look at it?
Well, he could call me. I'm about 2.5 weeks out right now, but like I said, I would tell you to take it to Toyota and stay with that only because they've started on it, and you know it's going to be a wasted motion in dollars
to try and
you're better off staying with them, especially if they're involved in this.
Right. They started the job. Now they should finish it.
So,
okay. Thank you very much.
I'm here if you need me, Richard.
Have a good day.
855-560-9900. We're back right after this. Welcome back. We're on the end of the Car Doctor, kind of winding things down this hour. It's been a busy hour. We've talked to a bunch of people, talked to both ends of the country, talked to a couple of people in between, and got to squeeze in a conversation with the folks at 3M. So I'm very grateful to have been here. But anyway, I just want to touch on one last thing. The AAA study, third of U.S. owners, I was continuing to read this. Motorists pay later for putting off vehicle maintenance now, the article continues, as worn-down parts increase the likelihood of costly roadside breakdowns. Again, I go back to the younger audience. Do the kids today, I don't know, I thought about breaking down, I was faced with it. Maybe that's the lesson that everybody has to learn, young and old, that they've got to break down on the side of the road. But then what do they do? It's not that simple. And I think one of the things I'd like to try and address, and I'm not sure how to do this, but that eternal conversation of, is your mechanic ripping you off? And how do you know? And how do you know if you're being charged fairly? And how do you know if what they say you need, you really need? You know, I live in a bubble. I admit it. I live in a little bit of a bubble I work in a repair shop and people walk in and they're amazed. The floors are clean. The place has got air conditioning. We've got tools. We've got lights. We've got lifts. And you say to yourself, well, isn't that common? It's not evidently. Evidently, you know, it's not the world that exists out there in a lot of places, and it's going to change. It's going to have to change. I think cars are getting to the point that people will start to use them only as they need them, hence Uber. I was reading an article from one of our listeners in Chicago that wrote, he's got a pizza delivery service, this bill that the article is about. They've got a pizza delivery service in San Francisco, and when times are busy, they're using Uber Rush
to deliver pizzas on a contracted basis. So you can see how automobiles are changing in the way and the approach in our use of transportation, and how will that change the way young people think, and how will that change how they approach it and continue to drive and operate vehicles. And that's what I want to get to. I want to get to that younger audience. But till then, I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless. See ya.